Well, hello again. It's good to be with you again this week. This message today is going to be a little bit different. If this is your first time to watch one of these videos, then this might be a little bit meaty for you. You might want to start back at the beginning of this year with the videos. I think the very first one is just called Humble Yourself. But this whole year, the Lord has been teaching us about really coming into maturity. And so he's talking about meat things, not milk things. this message today is for those that have been watching a long time. It's really intended for those that already have the foundation that was put in all of us by Pastor Dave Roberson. But I've got a few things I need to share with you that's important and that I see where we're going, and just a few things even in the natural. Like we've been getting several people this week have contacted us. They said, Gary, we like the messages. We like to watch you on YouTube, but there's so many commercials. And so we've even run some tests here. Angie tried several messages. And what's amazing, like you'll watch one on YouTube, one of them, and not see a single commercial. And then maybe the next time, she said one time she did it and there was a commercial like every 6 minutes. Well, what you need to know is, and I made a list here that I can refer to. Number one, we are not monetized. We have no control at all over those commercials. We're not getting any money. In the beginning, they ask you if you want to be monetized or not, and we say no. And we're still saying no. So those commercials are not for our benefit. We don't make a penny off of those at all. And we have no control over what YouTube does. Now, because of that, that's one of the main reasons that we also have every video for the last year and longer, I think, over at Rumble. If you're not familiar with Rumble, you can go to rumble.com. Or you can download their app and put it on your phone. And all you do is you do a search for Gary Carpenter Ministries. You'll see us there. And you click follow. And it's the exact, they're posted at the same time on the same day as every video that we post at YouTube. But there's no commercials. So, plus, as we go farther into what's coming, and I may have to get even more vocal on certain subjects, YouTube may cancel us out anyway. So I highly recommend that if you haven't already, learn to use Rumble and download the app, go to rumble.com, get familiar with it, and search for Gary Carpenter Ministries, click follow, and there you can watch the videos with no commercials at all. And the quality is just as good, I think. All right, so that's that about the commercials on YouTube. We can't stop it. We can't control it. They're not benefiting us. This is totally something YouTube does that we have no control over. Go to Rumble, okay? If you're having that trouble with the commercials, just go to Rumble. All right, the next thing I'd like to mention, and I want to say at the beginning, I'm about to talk to, again, those of you that had the foundation from Dave Roberson Ministries. Listen, Dave Roberson Ministries is still active and alive. I just this very week, I got requests from three different people, and two of them in different states, one of them from another country, asking, is Dave's book still available? And yes, it is. It is still available. Now, let's grow up a little bit, okay? If you're going to order books, they're still free. Please, if you can, pay for the postage at least. If you can't, that won't require it of you, but we're hopefully growing up some here, taking responsibility. But listen, Dave Roberson Ministries, they're still they're sending the book wherever it needs to be. Now, while we're on the subject of the book, let me tell you this in case you don't know it. Dave's book is available through Kindle. I have it on my phone. I love having it on my phone for many reasons. Number one, if I get, stuck somewhere, you know, if I was at an airport, my flight got delayed and I got 2 hours, I've got Dave's book on my phone right there. When you get to be my age, it's nice to be able to change the font size. And I can make that font size, the type, bigger as I need it. Makes it easy to read. I can highlight in yellow certain passages. I can make notes and keep them. And I always have them there. So I just want you to know, Kindle, Dave's book is available on Kindle. Oh, and get this. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. You can download it anywhere in the world. Of course, the only version that's there is in English. Now, Dave's book at the website, daveroberson.org, is available in many languages, Spanish and German, I believe, Chinese, Portuguese. I'm not even sure what, but there's multiple languages there that you can download in a PDF format, and they're for free. So that's available that way. But then also, of course, the physical book is available if you want one or need several. The phone number is still the same, by the way. Somebody asked me that this week. It's still area code 918-298-PRAY, P-R-A-Y, or 298-7729. Let me do it again. 918-298-7729. And, but you can leave a message if you call and there's at that moment you can't get through, leave a message, they'll call you back. Okay. All right. Oh, now also I want to, they're still doing prison ministry. They're still answering letters. They're still doing email ministry. They compile all these prophecies and send them out. They call them the present hour, present day speaking of the Lord. Dave Roberson Ministries is alive and well. Now I'll just tell you plain. I still consider Dave Roberson Ministries to be the mothership. Gary Carpenter Ministries is a satellite. And there's other ministries, most of them you probably know, that are like satellite ministries. But Dave Roberson Ministries is still the mothership. And I'll just tell you right now, Sue and I, that's where we still send our tithe. Our major giving is to Dave Roberson Ministries. And they don't ask me to do this. In fact, I might even get in a little trouble for doing this once in a while. I don't do it often. But I am asking you, if you have been blessed by the ministry of Dave Roberson, and I don't know about you, God used Dave Roberson to salvage us. I don't know where Sue and I would be if it had not been for the ministry God used through Pastor Dave Roberson to rescue us. We were in bad shape. My heart still. And I miss Pastor Dave so much. But I know what his teachings and his ministry has done for us, and I want that to continue. And unless the Lord tells me otherwise, we're going to continue to support Dave Roberson Ministries, and I'm just asking you to do the same. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting that. I miss my pastor. Boy, I'd love to call him. I have about a jillion questions I'd like to ask, just like always. But I love Pastor Dave. I'm just asking you to please remember Dave Roberson Ministries. I want to remind you of a few ways you can give. Online, I think, is the simplest way. If you just go to daveroberson.org and you'll see on the homepage a contributions link. Click on contributions, and right there on that page is every way that you might need information on how to give. You can give with a credit card. You can give through PayPal. The mailing address is there if you want to go really old school and send a check. But I just ask you, please remember the mothership once in a while. Remember Dave Roberson Ministries. All of the staff is still there. All of the people that you know and love, they're still actively working in the ministry. And I thank God for them. I'll just tell you the truth. Every now and then, I got to have a cool drink of water in a dry and thirsty land. I'll just go back to that website and just start playing some of those wonderful messages that are still there by Pastor Dave. And it's that they build me up, they encourage me, they teach me. Sometimes I'll listen to it and I'll go, I know I've heard this 20 times. When did they put this sentence in here? Well, they're not adding any sentences. It's just I wasn't mature enough to hear it then. It's good to go back and hear those again. And if you haven't listened to the Born Again Trail in a while, I bet you'll be surprised what you'll hear. You'll go, I don't remember that being in there the last time, but it was. Well, you can only receive it, you know, where you're walking at the time. Okay. Let's see if there's anything else there. Now, I want to talk also about this website, Gary Carpenter Ministries. I went back and looked at the teachings this year, how they started off with humble yourself. And at first it was humble yourself, and many messages along that line. But what's happening, I see what he's doing. It's only as we humble ourselves that we're able to come into the maturity of growing up unto the measure of the stature of Christ. Because he's the one that humbled himself. In Philippians, when Paul wrote that letter to them, he said, even though he was God, he did not count that as something to be, you know, grasped. And he humbled himself to be found in fashion as a man. And then he humbled himself even all the way to death, even to the death of the cross. And he is our pattern. He is the mark, the standard, the high mark, and we're not going to lower the mark that we're pressing toward. Paul said he was pressing toward that mark himself. He says, I don't count myself to have attained. I'm still pressing toward that mark myself. And that gives me encouragement that, you know, because if I thank God for where the Lord has brought me, but I have so many faults still that some, you know, the enemy just wants you to look at yourself and give up. And I found out that's the opposite of mustard seed faith. You know, the Lord talked about mustard seed faith, and he's used me to teach on that many times during this year so far. But see, real mustard seed faith, a mustard seed itself is tiny. If you focus on the mustard seed, of course, you're going to fail because it's tiny. You can put a little mustard seed in the palm of your hand and it looks like a pepper grain. You could go and it's gone. There's no power in the external, the little seed. That's us. But see, mustard seed faith has faith. That little mustard seed has got something on the inside of it that's huge. It grows to be a tree 15 feet tall that puts out limbs that's so strong birds can make nests in the limbs. And one day I had a little picture on the inside of me, and I thought, now what if I had one of those little mustard seeds right here pinched in my fingers, and I walked up to a fully grown 15 foot tall mustard tree, and I'd walk up and I'd have that seed and I'd put it up against that tree and I'd go, that came out of this? See, here's mustard seed faith. God is going to come out of you. What's he been teaching us lately? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And even more specifically, that word translated temple is really only used for the holy place where the Holy of Holies is. So what he's really saying, your body is the Holy of Holies where God's presence dwell. And that's exactly what Jesus prayed in John 17. I and them, Father, thou and me, that we all may be one. Whew. Glory to God. I feel waves of, there's certain times as a teacher, I feel waves of the Holy Spirit's pleasure as certain words come out. It's he likes it. I'm telling you, we're coming into revival. One of the recent lessons was talking about out of your belly, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit. At that moment he had not been given, but now he has been given. You are a born again person filled with the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of God, and the river of God is going to flow out of you. Say, well, Gary, right now that river might be flowing, but it's just a trickle. It's ankle deep. Well, go back to Ezekiel 47, I believe it is, and read about that. It won't, as you continue to press into God, that river won't stay ankle deep. I mean, it gets to be knee deep, hip deep. It becomes waters to swim in. At that point, you no longer control your destiny. The river has you. Your feet are no longer touching the bottom now. You're not in control. The mind of Christ has taken you, and he'll put you where he wants you. But listen, as that river flows out of you, if you continue reading, it becomes trees of medicine to the people. Health, life, medicine, healing, the gospel of eternal life. It's all going to flow out of you. That's called revival. Believers shall cast out devils. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What a time to be alive. We're coming into the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. A minimum of a billion souls going to be won into the kingdom. What a time to be alive. And as I'm watching events unfold, I'm telling you, I know even when the Bible was written, they were expecting Christ to return soon. But looking at world events, he's coming soon. We may even be alive to see it. But anyway, even I might be alive to see it. Hey, Pastor Bronk's been telling us all now, believe for 120 years. Well, I'm only 77. Come on. Let's talk about maturity a little bit here. I made a few notes for today. In life or death, we are his. You know, it's interesting to me that last week we talked about under his wings. And if you haven't heard that message, I really pray that you, or I don't pray, I just recommend that you hear it. I recommend you hear all of them starting January 1st or starting right at the beginning of the year. There's a playlist at our website that has all of the teachings done this year, 2024. I'm telling you, those teachings are line upon line, and he didn't teach them for no reason. And he's bringing us into this revival that has not been seen since the book of Acts, to be honest with you. Now, there's been a lot of short-term revivals, and I thank God for each and every one of them, really. And sometimes they've saved nations, our nation. We had a Great Awakening 1 and a Great Awakening 2, and I believe we're about to have a Great Awakening 3. So some of those revivals sometimes will change nations, but most of them don't last more than some of them months, some of them a few years. But he has spoken more than once that the revival we're coming into is going to last until he returns. Wow. That's different. See, and if we're going to go someplace where the church has not been, we're going to have to understand some things that the church has not understood. And that's why I'm so sold out to the message Pastor Dave Roberson taught us. Who can get us there? If there was any place on earth where I could take like a blind person and know for sure that after they minister to that blind person, they're going to be seeing, I'd go learn from them. It's not a matter of pride. I would sit, teach me, teach me. I'm ready. But there's no place like that. Now, by the gifts here and there, wonderful things happen, and I thank God for that, and we're to covet earnestly the best gifts. But nowhere on earth right now are Jesus meetings happening. What's a Jesus meeting? That's where they all get healed. First time, every time, no exceptions. Nowhere on earth right now is that happening on a regular basis. But you know and I know if Jesus was here in his own body, it would be happening. Well, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father, followed up by whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he repeats himself. I say again, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Well, we're just not seeing the manifestation of that. What do? Lower the mark? We start false doctrine like all of that's passed away? No. Leave the mark right where he said it, and let's press towards it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But that's going to require maturity. And all this year, even though it starts off, it doesn't sound like being exalted. It sounds like the opposite, you know. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. But see, Jesus over and over again said the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. Jesus was the greatest in the kingdom. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Jesus is our example of the servant of all. He would serve you right off of the Father's table. He would ask him, here comes a blind person. You know, most of us would just assume what they want. But he asked them, he says, what would you have me do for you? What do you want? It's like he was, you know, like behind him is like the Father's table. And he's going, as the mature Son of God, as the fully manifested Son of God, well, I can serve you anything from my Father's table. What would you like to have? He's trying to get us to mature beyond the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we thank God. I never intend to minimize the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for the gifts. And we're told to covet earnestly the best gifts, even while we're pressing towards the mark. But he plainly says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Well, that more excellent way is grow the heck up. I hope I said that okay. Grow up. See, and that's the very next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says plainly, he says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, and I acted as a child. But when I become a man, or you could say, when I grew up, I put away childish things. He's trying to get us to grow up. And in order for that to happen, we have to humble ourselves to the point that the heart of Jesus beats in us. The mind of Jesus thinks through us. The eyes of Jesus sees through us. We'll get to more of that here in a little bit. See, let's talk about Peter for a minute. I want to talk about maturity. Peter and all the disciples were glad to follow the Lord. No man ever spake like this man. They had already seen some things when he called them to follow him, you know. And you can tell from the things they said that they thought, they believed Jesus was the Messiah, and their mindset was, when the Messiah comes, he's going to overthrow Rome. The kingdom of God is going to be established on earth. Jesus is the king. That's why they kept asking, we want to serve on your right hand and your left hand, you know, James and John, and the mother of James and John. I want my boys. One on your right, one on your left, Jesus. You know, that they thought the kingdom, the natural kingdom, physical kingdom of God was about to be manifest. Jesus would be king in Jerusalem. He would rule. Now, that day's coming. But as we know now, and they didn't know then, there's been like, you know, over 2,000 years. But that day is still coming, and it may not be that far off either. I mean, just tell you that. Let me just read some of this, okay? But when Peter was immature, when they first left the ships, left the boats, and we're going to follow Jesus, and they're excited. The things they saw, the blind eyes that were opened, the cripples that were healed, the deaf that heard, the devils cast out. We're so glad we're following Jesus. And Peter thought, in his immaturity, he thought he had this all figured out. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. He saw the miracles, the signs, the wonders. And like the other disciples, when Peter left his fishing business to follow Jesus, and Matthew left his tax collecting, and they all left whatever business they had to follow Jesus, they were thinking that Jesus, that he was going to overthrow Rome somehow and set up his kingdom there in Jerusalem, and they were going to rule and reign with him on planet Earth. Because they had that mindset, that's why I'm going to read to you Matthew 16, verses 21 through 22. I have this all figured out. This is what's going to happen. Jesus is going to overthrow Rome, going to set up the kingdom. He's going to be the king here in Jerusalem. I'm going to serve him. You know, he had this all figured out. But Jesus says to him, again, I'm just going to read Matthew 16, 21 through 22. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter heard that. I'm just going to read it now. Verse 22, Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Get the picture. Peter rebuked him, saying, this is what he said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." All of a sudden, Peter knows more than Jesus. Did you get the picture? Now, this is immature Peter that loves Jesus, excited about Jesus, left his business to follow Jesus, sold out for Jesus. He thinks he'll lay down his life for Jesus. And he hears Jesus say the truth. I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to suffer, Peter, many things at their hands. Peter, well, he's selling it to all of them. They're going to kill me. they're going to murder me. But I'm going to be raised again the third day. This does not fit with Peter's immature understanding of the kingdom at all. This is not, nope. It's almost like, Jesus, have you never read the scriptures? That's not what happens when Messiah comes. And look, it says he took him. I mean, he might have got him by the shoulders. I don't know, turned him around face to face. I don't know exactly what he did, but it says he took him. Maybe took him aside. I don't know. This be far from thee, Lord. I'm sorry. Again, I don't think Jesus probably did eye rolls. I probably would have. Oh, God. Peter, I love you, man, but. And he just plainly says this. Here's Peter telling Jesus, "This shall not be unto thee." No. We're going to have wealth and power and kingdom and rule. And he had it all figured out. Okay, let's fast forward a while. See, whatever Peter's expectation in his immaturity to rule with Jesus was, his expectation of this kingdom and how it was going to come, boy, it had to come as a shock to him to find out Jesus was serious about what he said. And even more of a shock to find out was not only was Jesus going to be martyred, Peter was going to be martyred. This shall not be unto thee. This, sir, won't be unto me. No, he didn't say that. Let's read about that event. Going over to, of course, this is after Jesus had been crucified, after his burial, after his resurrection, and Jesus has appeared to them. He's made breakfast for them on the shore. They had gone back to fishing. And Jesus tells them what to do, and they catch a huge catch of fish, and they know it's Jesus now. And Peter comes, and Jesus has quite a discussion with Peter. But then Jesus tells him something that Peter didn't know. And that's in John 21, verses 18 through 19. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself," that very King James-y, You chose what clothes to wear, and you put them on. "And you walked wherever thou wouldst." You went wherever you wanted to go. "But when thou shalt be old," and if you look up that word, that doesn't mean mature, it means senile. And it doesn't mean Peter would be senile, I don't mean it that way. But it's that's the Greek word that means the age where that's common. Okay, and Peter lived to be in his 60s. History tells us that. We don't know the exact age. "But thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee," shall dress thee, "and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." They're going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. "This spake he, signifying by what death he," that's Peter, "should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, he just got through telling Peter. Peter started this off thinking, the kingdom of God is going to be set up on earth. Jesus is going to be king. He's going to overthrow Rome. I'm going to be in his kingdom. We're going to rule and reign. There's going to be wealth and power and authority. And he's thinking all of this in the natural. Well, the kingdom of God has come. But it's all in the spiritual right now. The physical kingdom is coming. All right. But Peter didn't understand that was going to be 2,000 years or more off. Okay. So now, not only is he understanding, okay, it's not a physical kingdom. Okay. Jesus has already been killed. I mean, at least at this point, he knows it's true. He's talking to the resurrected Jesus right now who was killed. And now he's telling him, Peter, you yourself are going to be martyred. Now, it's not going to happen right away. See, this is why Peter was asleep later on when he was in prison. And a lot of people would be up all night worried, oh, God, they're going to execute me, oh, God. Peter was asleep. Why? Well, Jesus has already told him, this isn't going to happen until you're really old, Peter. You know, at the age of where you might, you know, think people think of being senile or something. You know, you're going to live to be really old. So Peter knew deep down he wasn't going to die. They weren't going to, you know, he was in prison, but they weren't going to martyr him because Jesus had already said, you're going to live to be an old man. That's why Peter was asleep. The angel, when it came, had to thump him on the side, wake him up, you know. That's a bonus, but I like that. But he did tell him, now, when you get to be an old man, Peter, you're going to be martyred too. By the way, Peter also, I don't know how much he understood at the time, but see that Jesus was martyred but resurrected. Peter is going to be martyred. He's also going to be resurrected. Peter's alive right now, but one day he's going to be resurrected with a glorified body. So are we if we're not alive when Jesus comes. Anyway, that's another teaching. Thank God Peter had matured when he heard this. Thank God he had matured enough that he didn't say, I rebuke you again. Lord, this shall not be unto me. No, he didn't argue. But there was still enough in him. You know, Peter's going, I'm going to be martyred. And John must have been within seeing distance, because he says, basically says, what about John? Now, it's in John's gospel, and John always referred to himself as the disciple Jesus loves. So but Peter, I'm going to be a martyr? What about John? So let's continue here in John, at John 21. Look at verses 20 through 22. Then Peter, turning about, he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now that's the way John always referred to himself. He's talking about John. Then I'm going to say it that way. Then Peter, turning about, he saw John, the same John who had leaned on the breast of Jesus at supper and said, Lord, the same John who leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That John was a window for sure who he's talking about. Verse 21, Peter seeing him said to Jesus, and Lord, what shall this man do? In other words, I'm going to be a martyr? Oh, what about John? What's going to happen with John? Boy, now here it is. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. There it is. Peter, it doesn't matter what happens with John. Now see, we all, the rumor went out that John would live until Jesus returned, and that's not what Jesus was saying at all. We all know that they tried to martyr. All of the disciples were martyred. All of the apostles, rather, were martyred, and except John. And they tried to martyr John at least twice that we know of. They tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. And John is the only one of the original apostles that died of old age. He just died of a natural death. But the point Jesus is making, it doesn't matter what happens with John. Peter, what matters is that you follow me. This very week, a dear friend that I had breakfast with, you know, Every now and then it's still good to get together and pound the table and slurp coffee and talk about God, you know. And I love that. I don't like getting together and you talking to me about your cat, your dog, and your grass. You know, it's, you know, but boy, I love fellowshipping around the Word of God and the things of God. And the subject came up again about hearing God. I want to get to that a little bit. Let's see, where am I in this? Okay. See, when Jesus says, follow me, my favorite story along that line, you know how brides are when they're about to be married, and that brides start thinking about their wedding from about age 3, 4, 5, somewhere right in there. Boy, by the time the wedding comes, they know exactly what they want. They want the colors. They know the dresses. They want the bridesmaids to wear. They want this and they want that. They've got their wedding all planned out. And the story goes, this lady, this bride, was going to have a wedding, and she hired a chef to prepare a meal and that they were going to have after the wedding. And she already had the menu picked out, what she wanted. She wanted roast beef and vegetables and a certain thing along that line. So she told the chef what she wanted. Well, the wedding happened. It was beautiful. Everything went well. The chef served the meal afterward, and everybody loved the meal, but he served fish instead of roast beef. Everybody loved it, though. He did a great job. But later on, when the chef was talking later with the bride, he says, "Did you like the meal that I prepared?" She said, "Well, everybody liked the meal. You did a great job." But I just have one question for you. Why didn't you serve what I asked you to serve? See, I don't want to hear that question from Jesus when I get to heaven. I don't want to spend my life doing things that was not really his plan for my life. That's one of the reasons, just one of the many reasons, I'm so thankful for the ministry of Dave Roberson. Sue and I had a pretty good foundation in the Word of God. We were, you could call us probably Word of Faith people when we started, and thank God for that. Thank God we had learned the Word of Faith, because if we hadn't, I have no doubt I would have died of melanoma cancer before I ever met Dave Roberson, because in my early 40s, they gave me 6 months to live, and if I'm telling you, Christian or not, if all I had known was the little doctrine that I had grown up with from a child in a denominational church, where they said, we know God can heal, we just don't know if he will, or, you know, if it's his will always to heal. If that's all I had known, when those doctors gave me that report, I still remember the words exactly. Young man, we're going to do our best for you. They said, this is melanoma cancer. It's the most deadly, fastest spreading kind. We're going to send you to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston and do our best for you. But young man, my advice to you is to get your affairs in order. I don't think you have 6 months. If all I had known was that doctrine I grew up with, I don't think I would have survived that. Thank God that we had the Word of Faith, that I knew what the Word of God says, and I knew to fill my mouth with Scripture and begin declaring what God said. To start, let me say it this way, declaring God's report instead of that natural report, and become fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was well able to perform. And thank God, I was in my early 40s at the time, now I'm 77. That's been a long 6 months. But see, so we had that foundation, and thank God for it. But we didn't know the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Pastor Dave provided for us. Pastor Dave used to say, he was a Word of Faith man too. He cut his teeth. He began with the same Word of Faith teachings that we had. But he learned through many hours praying in other tongues, mostly in meditation of the Scriptures, he learned the walk of the Spirit. What he means by that, learning how to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And he said, Gary, don't ever lose the word of faith. You need that. I'm not moved by what I see. I only believe the word of God. Don't ever lose that. He would say about himself, my underwear is made out of a Tulsa faith flag. He says, but you got to have the leadership of the Spirit. You got to follow. You got to learn how to follow him. See, and that's, oh, thank God that Pastor Dave, I'm going to recommend all of those teachings to you at daveroberson.org. You might go, Gary, which one should I listen to? All of them. All of them. More than once. Until you're able to walk in it, until you're able to hear the voice of the Lord yourself. Because none of us want to get to heaven. I don't want to spend my life. I'm just going to pick anything. I mean, it's good to feed the hungry. It's good to feed the hungry, okay? But I don't want to spend my life feeding the hungry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If he called me to teach the unlearned in Houston or somewhere, you know? In other words, I want to do what he called me to do. I am his hand. We'll get to that in just a minute. I don't want to run out of time here. I'm looking at the clock for your benefit. Listen, Peter's expectations when he was brand new, he even rebuked. He thought he understood it. He thought he had it all figured out. No. Here's how it's going to be. You're the Messiah. You're going to overthrow Rome. You're going to set up your kingdom here in Jerusalem. Me and these other guys, we're going to serve you in this kingdom. There's going to be wealth and power and authority and so forth. And they had it all figured out. So when Jesus starts talking to him about, I'm going to be killed, and no, this shall not happen to you. Well, now the expectation has gone from that immature level to now Jesus is even telling him, Peter, you're going to wind up being a martyr also, but you're also going to have a resurrection day. At least Peter this time didn't rebuke him. But boy, this is a whole new world. So let me read it the way I wrote it here. Peter's expectation had gone from wealth and power in a physical kingdom to a fully surrendered servant of the Lord, which means, fully surrendered to the Lord, which means, he's finding out now, obedience even unto death, if that's the Lord's, if that's what the Lord wants, if that's the Lord's will. See, a few weeks ago from James, and I don't have the verse for you. You can look it up for yourself. He was talking to the rich men. He says, now you rich men, you say, we're going to go into a certain city and we're going to stay there a while and we're going to do business and this and that. Nothing wrong with that, except James says, well, what you ought to say is this. If the Lord's will, if the Lord wills, we will live and do such and such. What? If the Lord wills, we will live. See, true maturity, if you're going to have the same mind as Christ, true maturity, I am your servant in life. I am your servant in death. Jesus was obedient all the way to death, even the death of the cross. And as we mature, that same heart is in us. We are obedient even unto death. Paul, in one of his letters, says, we had the sentence of death within us, in ourselves. We had the sentence of death. And I did a really extensive word study of that. And the picture is like you're in a battle, picture just anywhere in World War II, and you have conquered a certain hill. And so you and your platoon, you've conquered this hill. But now the enemy is resurging against you. And obviously they're coming with massive force, more than you have. So you like radio back to headquarters. What should we do? Should we retreat and live? Or should we stay and die? And the answer comes back. Stay. Which will mean certain death. Stay. That's what that word sentence, it's the answer. We had the answer of death. The response back. Death. Peter's finding out, you're going to follow me, or Jesus is telling him, follow me, Peter. You're going to live to be an old fella. You're going to be old. But you're going to wind up being a martyr also for the gospel. Wow. Talk about a change of expectation. Talk about a maturing in Christ. See, what's interesting is last week we had Under His Wings, which talks about angelic protection. Well, you see that all through in Peter's life, they put him in prison. They were going to kill him like they did James. But what happens? An angel comes. See, nothing can happen to you until it's the time. I want to remind you again, how many times did they want to kill Jesus? And he just walked away. Well, how did that happen? I mean, there's a lot of them, one of him. It may be his 12, I don't know. I don't know if an angel blinded their eyes or an angel just, you know, covered him with the wings and they couldn't see him and he just walked away. What I'm saying is we do have angelic protection until it's that time. And I don't fully understand that. I just know I'm his servant. If I live to be 120, I'm still his servant. If I live to be 120 and I'm martyred, or if I'm martyred tomorrow, I'm still his servant. In death or life, I am yours, Lord. In death or life, I am yours. Do with me as you will, Lord. That's what he's saying. Follow me, Peter. Gary, follow me. In life, be my servant. In death, be my servant. Glorify God, whether in life or death. Glory to God. See, that's really what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. He's trying. There's this merging, this less of me, more of him. How did John the Baptist say it? I must decrease and he must increase. There is a transformation that we're all learning about and growing into, where you literally begin to think with his thoughts and you feel with his heart and you see with his eyes and you touch with his hands. And Paul's saying, I'm still Paul. It's me, but it's not me. But it's Christ in me. Let me read it. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He's trying to describe this merging, this transformation, this maturity. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is still me. There's still a Paul. There's still a Christ. But there's a merging going on. See, Christ, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What was the faith of the Son of God on the cross? He told him before he got on there, he says, a seed, if it abides alone, is only one. But if it's willing to die, if it goes into the ground and dies, then it's multiplied and it becomes many seeds. Paul, the faith of Jesus was, okay, I'm going to die here, but this is not where it ends. My faith is, my life is going to be multiplied in millions of believers. I will live in them. Wow. We are being conformed to the same image. There is a transformation going on. Okay, I hear words. This is something the Lord said to me way back in 1997. And just tongues and interpretation talking with me. He says, to rescue my sheep requires my arm. To rescue my sheep requires my anointing. To rescue my sheep requires my eyes, my mind, my heart, my everything. Rescue my sheep, son. Seek me and praise me. My heart beats within you. My heart beats within you. Way back in 97. Still appropriating today. Still in that transformation process. Be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right before that, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. We are the temple of God. Our bodies literally are the temple of God. By the Holy Spirit, Christ lives within us and the Father in him. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Don't fear those that can only kill the body and that's all they can do. You're under angelic protection until the will of the Lord. If the Lord wills, we will live. Well, if he wills, I will live. But in life or death, I am his. I am his. Let's talk about the hand. I got about 9 minutes here if we go that long today. Remember when he gave me the illustration of my hand? I said, Lord, this servant you're talking about, this really good servant, he goes out, it's Luke 17, verses 1 through 10, which I've been teaching on forever. Seems like. I really recommend all those teachings if you haven't heard them. They're all this year. Just listen to everything this year. But remember when he showed me that, he says, you know, you had this really good servant. He goes out and he plows or he milks the cattle. He does whatever needs to be done. And at the end of the day, he comes in. He doesn't go prepare his own meal first. He comes and checks on you. He says, Master, do you need anything else? Is there anything else I can do? Can I serve? Let me serve you supper. And only after all your needs are met, only then does he go and have his own supper. And he said, does he thank that servant because he did what was commanded him? I trow not. No, you don't. And I, you know, what? Then one day he asked me that wonderful question that changed my life. I'm going to get my hand where you can see it. He says, when was the last time you thanked your hand for obeying your mind? And I thought, I don't thank my hand for obeying my mind. I and my hand are one. As soon as that thought settled in me, download all of these scriptures from Genesis to maps. All these pieces of the puzzle just came together about us being the body of Christ. And he began to say to me, he said, son, you're the one that keeps seeing a separation between us. I don't see us that way. You are my body the same way your hand is part of your body. We are one. See, and more as we mature, we just like he said in 97, we feel with his heart. We think with his thoughts. We see with his eyes. We touch with his anointing. God, what? See, right? Again. Man, we touch with his anointing. Man. Let me read it the way I wrote it. My hand is fully surrendered to my mind. There is a communication between my hand and my mind that is beyond language. It's beyond thought. Let me show you this again. I'm 77. Look at my hand. Look at this. If you only have audio, what I'm doing is I'm moving my hand and my fingers so fast. There's no way in the world I could speak thoughts that quick. Index finger, ring finger, thumb, hand, wrist. There's no way. There's a communication. And I'm still learning this. But there's a communication between my mind and my hand way beyond thought. It's quicker than thought, quicker than language. And there's a truth there he's trying to get across to us. That is exactly the way we are to Christ. You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to understand everything. My hand doesn't even have to know why. It just needs to know what. What, when, how. That's it, you know. Again, if I dropped, I only wear one ring. It's my wedding ring, very precious to me. Because my wife is very precious to me. 48 years we've been married. I'm working hard for 49. This ring is precious to me. If I dropped it in a mud puddle, I wouldn't think twice about sending this hand to go get it. This is a holy hand, sanctified for my use. And I'm not afraid at all to send it into the mud to get my precious ring. I'm not worried about the mud getting in my hand. I can wash my hand. even while it's in the mud, it's sanctified to my use. That is a holy hand while it's in the mud, because it's rescuing preciousness. That is exactly what we're here for, to rescue the lost sheep that are precious to God. Raise them up, nurture them, bring them to maturity so that they become sons, that fully mature sons and daughters. We're all, there's no, you know, male or female in Christ, that we all become mature children of God, serving in the kingdom exactly where he wants us to be. For as long as he wants us to be, we serve him in life, we serve him in death. Lord, we are yours all the way, completely. That's the fully mature servant. That's the heart that was in Jesus. See, my hand and my mind are one. They really see. Did you see that? I can't even speak that fast. I can't think thoughts that fast. My hand and my mind are one. That's the image that he's given me for the maturity of the body. We are to become like that to him. You don't have to understand everything. Hear and obey. And even hear is not good enough. That's quicker than here, isn't it? You see what I'm saying? We'll get there. More to come. But we are one with Christ. See, Paul did his best to describe that when he wrote Galatians 2:20. Well, it's me, Paul. I'm crucified, but it's me in here. But it's really not me. It's Christ in me, but it's me. But it's Christ trying to describe that oneness. He went One step further, and go over to Philippians. I'll finish with this today. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Boy, that needs to be our daily confession. Christ shall be magnified in my body. Now get this, whether it is by life or by death. Now get this sentence, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, the worst they can do is kill me. And for me, if they kill me, it's promotion day. I'll be with Christ, which is far better. But if I was to read the rest of it, but for you, it's better that I remain, because he can still do the ministry of Christ. How he words that is so important. See, I hear people, you know, it's a common quote in Christianity to say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But see, they leave out that first part. He says, for to me. See, Not every Christian is living for Christ. Right there, I heard a quote from Paul writing one of his epistles, talking about Timothy. And he says, I don't have anybody else like Timothy. Everybody else is out serving for themselves, really. I don't have anybody else like Timothy who's really sold out. I'm not quoting it very good. But see, Paul had come to the place for, he says, as far as I'm concerned, for to me, Paul had gone through the mortification process, being conformed to the image of Christ. To him, as far as he was concerned, for him to live is Christ. In other words, Christ is going to be magnified in my body every day. I'm going to be doing what he I am his hand. I am his body. For me, if I'm alive, it's Christ living in me. I'm still me, but it's Christ. And his ministry will continue through me. And if they kill me, if I die, well, for me, that's gain. I got promoted to be with Christ, which is far better. Let's end with that confession. I'll just say it this way. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Love you so much. See you again next time. Bye-bye.